Okay, let's go for the second part. Let's see how things are developing in this thing. First of all, two little things. When you go to the page, there are two changes. First of all, I corrected the link. So if you go here is the book, Director's Cut. Okay? And this is the integral of the book. The advantage, again, is that you can translate it in Albanese or whatever you want, just to go in Google. You know how to do that, right? So there is the book is not so rich of episodes, of course, as what I told, but it could be a good source. And the other thing is that you have already the audio of the first part. So you just go here, it will, okay. So this is the audio of the first part. So if you want to listen. Okay. Bene, all right. So this is already set up. Okay, so and then we'll be, so for whoever comes tomorrow as a fresh kid, you tell him, good, but before, listen to the audio, otherwise you have no clue of what's going on, my friend. Okay, just spend the time to listen, otherwise we don't really care too much to have you around. No, I'm kidding, but it's important to have these things, no? And it's important to share experience. And the audio is done mainly for the people that were not present, because the people that are present, more or less, they have it. Okay. Now, let's see how Eichmann, in some way, superate this thing. Let's look again at the idea of this kind of phases of, let's call, depression is not the right word. I think that the right word is introversion, something like that. It's an introverted phase. And it's a phase as everything that has to do with psychoanalysis tend to go in the layers of your psychological life, and also are you going the layers of your past. It's a kind of a process of introspection. So in a way, these objects, I think they are called, although they continue to call houses, but clearly are something completely different. These objects in some way reveal that attitude. And particularly what's going on are a kind of a mixture of contextual objects, abstraction, kind of autonomous actions, but they move in different ways. And that idea of the excavation in a way became very important. And so, for example, look at this. This is a kind of all is the opposite of what is supposed to be, you know. There is an emerging thing that is solid and is up, and there is a not emerging thing underground that is transparent, so it's one opposite of the other. As a grammar is based on a system of rotation of an L shape. As I told you before, it's typical, the typical drawings, etc. And in a way, the symbol of this, it is this. That's why I use it often, that it belongs to that phase. What is this? This is a psychoanalytic self-portrait. It is a contextual object. It is a syntax exercise. It is clearly, there is lots of level within this object. I wrote this book when I was in Africa. because among many other things that I've done in my life, I taught in Africa. And a funny thing that really I went to teach to Africa after I had been teaching at the Polytechnic of Zurich, at the ETH Zurich. So in a way I was kind of within myself, I was into completely different worlds, you know. I was coming from the Polytechnic of Zurich, let's say one of the most refined, polished and formal and high quality school from many points of view, and I end up to be in Africa for 2 years. I was there in a phase, I was still rather young, but I was a young faculty at La Sapienza, and Sapienza was basically creating a university in Africa for African students. And not finishing the contradiction, I also was writing a book on Eichmann, because I physically wrote the book on Eichmann in Africa. So that's why I have that very peculiar beginning, scriva se San Giù dall'altra parte del mondo, etc., because it was a way to deal with all these contradictions. And I remember when a phone call arrived at the time, email was really, really at the beginning, we were using very rarely emails. I remember this phone call, that was kind of an event, of the publisher asking me, but you know, our book, they need a subtitle. They need a subtitle. And almost immediately I said, you know, when they ask you something, the adrenaline must go up. And I said, okay, Trivellazioni nel futuro, as a subtitle of the book. And I think it's a very powerful subtitle. And we are going at the end also to tell you a series of other layers that are implied on this idea. Because Trivellazioni nel futuro is a kind of, are two words that are contradicting one with the other, right? Trivellazioni means drilling, so means going down, is the drilling. But you drill in the future, it seems a contradiction in terms. But it is really here is the essence of my Eichmann. It's not against the essence of what Peter is, particularly what Peter is in this phase. But for me it was a key, and in some way this is the symbol also of this subtitle, of my approach, etc. And then goes on the end. Remember that I want to really go a little bit on the end of the book, because that, I think, it is what really opens up the essence of it. So now let's go back here. We are here, and so he is really convulsed in this kind of situation. We understood why he was, let's say, upset from many points of view. Also, postmodernism was in a way an anti-taboo movement, because historically postmodern did a couple of things that they were breaking some assumption of architecture up to that time. Naturally, postmodernism, what it is, everybody interprets as you want, basically. In the field of the philosophical thinking and the sociological debate, it means one thing. In the field of architecture, means something rather specific, because it's very well connected to certain figures and certain architecture, certain personalities. So it's a little bit different to speak postmodern in cultural terms, historical cultural terms, and in architectural terms. But let's forget the philosophy and the sociological aspect. Let's focus in the architectural debate. Basically, postmodernism was a moment that many forces were liberated in a way. That idea of the rational synthesis of the function, forms, and constructed the kind of rationale about what the architecture to respond of the revolution of the industrialism, etc. Because all the modern movement arrived in the 60s, that was kind of a very boring cliché in many ways. It was not able to deal with many issues. But particularly, there were two issues that were needed to be removed by the typical functionalistic modernist thinking. The first one was being modern architecture and functionalist architecture based on the paradigm of the machine. The big paradigm was the machine. And the whole process and idea was related to the machine idea. That architecture was a context by essence. It was a thinking of architecture in which context, physical context, was not important, and cultural context was not important, and historical context was not important. Because if you want to put a perfect piece of machine in a certain place, the last thing that you are interested in is all these other things. You are focused on the perfection of your machine. Either the machine is a real machine or is an architecture, it's the same. It's a topic by essence. So the idea instead that the context, and I use context in a broad sense, that implies cultural, implies physical, and implies sociological, are part of the game, became the breaking that taboo. The architecture is not a machine, not related to the context, but is very strong context related. That's the first thing that postmodernism brought, very important. The second thing was, if I'm dealing with a machine, what I'm interested in, tautological, that the machine works well, very simple. Everything is related in the perfect functionalism of the machine per se. And all the values are related to the perfect functioning of that object, either it is the architecture or the thing. If I have to design a piece of machine, the important thing is that the piece of machine works well. So all the values are based on the functionality of the machine. And this applies as well as the machine per se as the architecture intended within that paradigm. The consequences of this is this basic question. Dardan, Leonardo, Dardan, follow me. Therefore, what is the beauty of the machine? Well, do you want that I tell you the question again? What is the beauty of the machine? Okay, have a little consultation, the four of you guys there, the four musketeers. Talk about among each other. Let's have a little consultation. Let's move with these four girls here in the meantime. What is, if this is the assumption, what is the beauty of the machine? It's the function itself! Excuse me, and this goes recorded, but our technique to create empathy is called, that either you are with me or you are not with me anymore. So that is completely out. But otherwise you are with me. Exactly! There is not such a question. If I'm studying a piece of machinery, there is not such a question. The beauty, it is in the beauty of the machine itself. That's why for a long run, the BMW motorcycle, they were horrible from an aesthetic point of view, because the whole aesthetics was to be a perfect machine, right? They are changing now, but originally was that the idea. So if we are you are with me, Musketeers, you understand now. The question is, the answer was, there was not such a question. For a machine, is the function of the machine the beauty? The thing does not exist as a separate question. This, the things are stupid things, it is fundamental. Because hundreds and hundreds and thousands and millions of students of architecture, when they were doing a project, the question was, does it work or does not work? So, that was for hundreds of, you know, for decades, architects were educated, taking out the problem of aesthetic. That did not exist. The results, in some way, was a kind of semi-automatic result of what was the function. You want that window like that, but that window like that corresponds to the chassis or doesn't correspond to the chassis. If you are in the bathroom, you pick windows for a bathroom. You don't do, you know, this kind of thinking. So everything has to be linearly. So postmodernism, in a way, have broken these two taboos. On one side, you can deal with context, and on the other side, the aesthetic has its own value. Before, that was not in reality possible to talk on these things, because it was built on another paradigm. So postmodernism then, in a way, was important. Problem was that clearly the shortcut to solve this issue was you do an architecture that is mimetic. So you deal with context in a mimetic way. That means you tend to have an architecture similar to what is around, taking all the memory and all other things. In order to be, in a way, acceptable to a larger context of media and things, etc., you tend to do language and images that are popular, in a way. Either are popular because are kind of vernacular, or they are popular because they look at classicism, and it's a kind of common language that everybody thinks that is good. So the great, the mainstream, what our Andrea is doing, basically, with this architecture, was using an architecture that was full of memory. So arches, columns, sculpture inside that, like there is a new late Renaissance. And on the other side, was trying to contextualize a little bit these objects in a way that was inserting either cultural or physical in a context. Why the idea to put a house through, you understand that it's completely out of this kind of reasoning. You know, there is no context, there is no compromise whatsoever, that is a pure object placed there. Eichmann, through his psychoanalysis approach and psychoanalysis sessions, etc., he understood one thing. That you don't have to remove a problem, you have to try to reinterpret within your own category. So that is the mental framework. So, through that kind of idea, he said, okay, let's start to work about context. Let's use context. Before I always remove, now let's work with context. Let's take this postmodern path, in a way. But let's use in a completely different way. Instead of using the context directly as a mimetic approach or a full of easy memory, let's conceptualize the context. So in one way, I use the word that is the word that is a necessity by the cultural moment, because they become an issue. But in the other way, I use within a different paradigm, a different way of thinking. I invent my way to deal with context. The first project that is a kind of intermediate project that shows that is this one. It is in Venice, and you start to see something different here. What's happening here? Here he studies what is the city of Venice, and he starts to create maps. And it's not only maps of the existing Venice, it's also maps of the past of Venice. So basically, you imagine like layers, okay, of the historical maps. Imagine different layers in different moments. Within that, he's saying, yes, I'm dealing with context, but I'm not dealing with context in a direct, memorial, mimetic way. I'm doing through a kind of abstraction. When I do this work, I study this map, etc., I find some hidden geometry that are present there. And I decide that this geometry that I reinterpret by this path becomes the guiding force of a new project that I will add as a layer on the other one, but it's not completely abstract. In a way, it's not coming like from this kind of completely out abstract things. In some way, it's related with the place, but with this kind of strange circle through the layers, the superposition, and the interpretation in reality. So, doing that, it basically find a series of lines, a series of grids that on one way talk of the story of Venice, but on the other way they don't adhere on what is actually right now. And then he creates this this action. Okay, in certain moments of this new pattern, this new grid that I create, I put objects, here it is, boom, 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 in certain strategic points. In some cases, again, are up, in some cases probably are excavated, and particularly what he does is that he does a kind of fractile things that some are big, very arbitrary. Some are big, some are small, but it's always the same, rotate, and are placed in different places. So this is the first project in which we see some ideas that are new, and we are seeing is a way to start to build an escape to this kind of situation. Then it happens a very interesting thing, that it decides to really change. And I don't remember if it's 80, 81 or when it was, but he incorporated in a real office, Eichmann Architects. Before, basically, he was a professor and a head of an institute of research that he was doing projects here and there, but he was not incorporated as a real office. He incorporated Eichmann Architects in the 80s. And if you want, I will tell you how the office worked, but that is another story. And what he does, they do a competition. He made a talk to them. Yes, I arrived to 50. Now is the time to go back to design. We will focus on another chapter. I take this challenge. And they win this project. This project is a key project to understand the new phase. Why? For a series of reasons, and particularly because these things that I just anticipated came to evidence. Okay, the project is in Berlin. Berlin has been a city heavily, heavily, heavily bombed. Oh, of course, actually was almost destroyed. And large part of the city, even in the 80s and even later on, even today for a certain level, there were kind of vacant lots. There is that sense of emptiness in Berlin that was very strong. And so there's been some actions in the 80s that is called IBA, that was a series of competition, international competition, to rebuild the city, large part of the city, basically with a block attitude. Okay, basically through blocks, courtyard blocks. Eichmann did this competition for one of these situations, and he won. Now let's see what things he put in action. First of all, you have to understand that we are talking, and this is fundamental to understand, otherwise you never understand what this project is. We are talking of the entire block. In the entire block, there are some existing buildings, and that you can see clearly in the axon. Okay? And in the plan. In order to attack this project, he used this idea that I told before. The context is not the physical context of this building, their things, their memory, etc., but it's a kind of mental interpretation of a context. It's a mental interpretation of the context that is done with the system of the layers. If I study the city, etc., I understand different elements, different things, different grids, different jachiture, different geometries, etc. And that you have these plans, basically. You do like these plans in some way creates grids on this area. These grids are the first idea that we can understand why we are using chessboard Eichmann. These grids are a kind of system of rules within which you can decide a new geometry. This new geometry is not completely abstract, it's coming for some reasoning, but in reality it's a construct that allows you to approach or to tell the issue of the context within your own system of values. That is not the memory, the pure memory, the mimetic memory, but another one. In order to express this idea, there is a new word that arrives that is very important, and the word is palimpsest. I don't know if the spelling is exactly, probably there is something wrong in the spelling. What is the palim? Probably there is an M there, but anyway. Probably the palimpsest, I don't know, but anyway, palimpsest in Italian. What is the palimpsest? It's a real physical thing. In the medieval time, paper was very expensive. So, when you write in pergamen paper. That is, that paper comes from animals, you know, very much more expensive. When you write a document, you write the document, fine. After a while, this document is not used anymore. Okay? You erase it. And then you write again another document. After a while, this one is not used anymore. You erase it and you write it again. But when you don't erase completely the traces of previous exist. Remain in a way, and you can a little bit see in the new layer on top. So the palimpsest is these papers in which this process happened. So this word is the word that tells you this attitude, what it is, you know. So this is an architecture done with the idea of the palimpsest that is a completely different from the mimetic aptitude of the memory. So one thing is the mimetic aptitude of the memory. That means I do a capital because there is people like the capitals, or because close by there is another window done in that way. Let's say, put it simple. There are bricks, we do bricks, or there are arches, we do arches. You know. Another thing is to think in this way. That is a much more abstract way of thinking. So this is a kind of this is the approach of the palimpsest or the grid. And so what happened here, you understand rather well, then he, among the many things, he finds this geometry. So the project, it is organized as a whole, the new project is organized as a whole in new geometry that per se has that idea of layering present there. So the layering is a key ingredient of this approach. Is the layering, capisco, no? The layering is the first approach, the palimpsest is the other. So basically with that, you are create a series of preconditions to have the new architecture to arrive. So the new architecture kind of insert, you see, in different places where it can, in the existing block, but without another system of rules, that at the same time, like in a net, they take the existence. So you understand that how different is this attitude from the fact that since there is a block like this close by, you do another block like that with bricks, with the roof, etc. But the real way to look at this is not even this one, but is in the complex, you all understand here. Then IBA, they are German. Okay, Peter, you do this, okay. No word, good, nice design. Now I'll do the plan. So, from an organizational point of view, these are perfect things, from a distribution, things, etc. Everything is solved, you understand everything inside. You put the distribution system inside, you have the apartments that are like that, are very good housing, then no many placements, you know, it's kind of straightforward. And basically with the same approach, Zaha Hadid, 5 minutes to that, has another spectacular block, it's basically, not block, the mini block, is basically first construction of Zaha Hadid is done on this occasion. And again, so there is in both cases, it's interesting to see both, Zaradid and Peter Eisenman, because both have an approach that you may call it contextual, but it's a contextual in a completely different way than the mimetic approach or the typical postmodernist approach. If you go in other parts of Berlin, you will see, I don't know, Rob Trier, to make an example. Rob Trier plays with transformation of this idea. Of course, the last thing that he wants to do is to tilt it in any way. You know, he continues the perimeter, like that, etc. You read Giorgio Grassi, is another thing. You see Aldo Rossi, is another interpretation. But more or less, we are moving in another paradigm. Instead, this is interesting. By the way, it happened another... Another little problem. Life is always complicated. Arrived another guy, again, that was not part of the game. He was younger. He was not part of the game. Okay. Sì, ma fai capricci. He becomes upset from time to time. I learned how to deal with him. Non connesso? Okay, pazienza, ragazzi, doesn't matter. Well, anyway, arrives another guy that is half French and half Swiss. Probably wireless, is she? Okay. Well, anyway, arrives this other guy that is called Chumi. What does he do, this young guy, my God? There is a large competition, the largest competition in the world after many years. That is for Parc La Villette in Paris. Everybody participates to this competition. From the old avant-garde, to the old, not avant-garde, to the old nannies, to the new avant-garde. Everybody. And the young Chumi wins. What does he do? An interpretation very similar to this one. He does the police that are even red, the same. The police is basically the police, the part that are left, of to me, it is an evolution of this idea that it's like a friend that tells you, you know, yes, you have to do it this way, okay? Then it's there, but then you can say, yeah, and you do it, you know? That is the difference. So, to me, in reality, with 80% of the ideas that were embodied in this project, conceptually, he does the police, because it's a system of layers, each layer is independent, each layer makes the independent thing, and the interconnection, he puts the police that are even red. Okay, they're not identical, but conceptually it's the same thing. Well, okay, then what I do a crazy project when everything was already lost. he made this project with Derrida, another great passion another so-called father, although it's the same age, but he called like that. And he made this project but when everything was bello che finito, and this is not anyway strong like that one. But anyway, in this phase, after this project, putting between parentheses these other not so nice episodes, he find a very interesting phase of work. The goal basically goes from 83 to 97, 98. That is a phase of great, interesting work and productivity of Peter Eisen, which is the central contribution of his work. And we can talk about that at least a little bit. And so then we delve later, okay? So, but we have a sense of what's going on. How does it work at the studio? That is the first thing that you understand. Since I am originally a professor, I'm not a practicing architect, you are originally a professor, you basically create a hybrid studio that doesn't work exactly how a normal professional studio works, but works more similar as a design studio in a university system. That is the first thing that you have to understand. So Peter Eisen's studio was like that, was not a typical professional studio, because the typical professional studios are depend in the structure, but either he creates sub-team of people that work on projects, or he creates some tasks. So he's fantastic to do planning, he does planning. He's good to deal cost evaluation, he does cost evaluation. He does windows detailing, he does windows detailing. No, this is one typical structure. The Peter Eisman work doesn't work like that. It works, even physically it doesn't work like that. Because basically the studio is a kind of a large loft, all the spaces are equal, Peter sits as everybody else, and you see how this can be operated, but he's operating like this. So there is no hierarchy in that way, like we are in a design studio in a way. And how does it work? It does work like that. Okay, guys, we have this call from Pittsburgh, okay? They want to do, I cannot do the action. They want to do a computer lab over there in that Pittsburgh stuff. They are strong in computer science, etc. They have to have a lab on this. Okay, well, how we go about? You study. This is how you go about. For 3 weeks, the people don't do the project. They start to explore what are the implications of computer science, geometry, robots, whatever they study, like in a normal design studio. Through that process of studying, the different individuals, let's imagine there are 20 of us, okay, like a class. You are approaching these things in different ways. He gives lecture on that, but at the same time he's learning from what you are doing, and then you start to think, after a while, okay, probably this topic of Boolean math and Boolean geometry It is interesting as a concept. Let's see what's going on. And let's assume we create three subgroups that are always one against the other. So, like in a design studio, in a way there is a strong competition among them. And, okay, so bring a concept. 3 days to bring a concept. How we can go about Boolean math and apply to this program, how we can conceptualize this, okay? So that's the process. And so now, from the general topic, we realize that Boolean math is interesting. Then we understand how to conceptualize that, and we create three design possibility or three abstract possibility about that. They are not a design yet. After that, okay, we discuss as a design jury, and I say, Antonino and Loris is the best. Let's go about it. Okay, so that one, that means that either a bigger group works within their ideas, or the others do other things, so it depends, you know. So at that point, that idea, it becomes stronger. And then you move step by step by step up until you arrive at the time. That's the process. And during this phase in the 80s, he had lots of these things. And you see each project, if you have the lens and you know the story, because nobody will explain you these things. You don't go in a book and you find it, you understand that. If there is not something I will explain, you never understand. So that's why each of these projects, they are characterized by this kind of research approach applied in a way to the topic. Let's see this other one. So here is basically at the end, Boolean math is made on positive and negative, and particularly Boolean geometry is a kind of fourth direction geometry, because with the movement you create a universe that is different by the normal physics, to make it very simple. Now we don't go too far on that. That is not important. The important is the process. So through that, you manipulate the building. At the end, it became all very nice building. In reality, very interesting. This is another one, same thing. Here the topic is biocentrum for a university. Here they don't study Boolean math. They study DNA or aggregation here and there, etc. And again, with the same process, they arrive to a design. Then if you look from a kind of, you see here the thing, if you look from a strictly typological organizational way, you understand it is very, at the end it's rather simple. There is a spine. On the spine you attach a lab on both sides, and then you have other things that will break the thing with different elements. Because that is another aspect. There is always a kind of very simple distribution system within this. Out of the complexity, but the distribution organizational rules are rather simple in reality. So this is based on that, etc., etc. Okay. I think we can talk of one and then we finish at five, I suppose. You know? Not to overwhelm them. We arrive where we arrive. I will just, in order to open what's going on later on, in this approach, one experiment after the other experiment, they may do interesting work. Another very interesting thing it is, if the office, it is organized as a studio, are you expected to be paid or you paid yourself? You pay yourself, you're paying for your education, right? So that's the system. The system in reality is that Peter was having a design studio as a structure, in reality. That was an architectural office, but in which the people actually were not being paid, but basically they were working 20 hours a day. I have story that you cannot imagine, you know, the story of the actual operation about that, because people are killing themselves within this structure. So they stay there like for 1 year maximum, 2 years maximum. Because you cannot face with that. It's a kind of a super high applied education. Basically, this is what it is in reality. So you're part of this, you are not paid, you live in New York, so that means that you must afford it. And so that was that in the 80s and 90s, what was Peter Eichmann's office was this, built in this way. Naturally, there were very few elements of that, that were doing something else, and clearly this studio was making for doing not detailed drawing, was done for doing conceptual design, basically. And then if anything was done, was going basically out of the studio. So it was structure for doing conceptual design. Within this, experiment here, experiment there, invent something very interesting, new ideas, new concepts that are not only applied to one particular thing, but they become approach, conceptual approach to something. And he invents another fantastic idea with a project that is not so beautiful as the, it's not so great the project itself. It's the idea that implies and how powerful that idea becomes. He invents the idea of the in-between, which is another construct. The in-between. What is the in-between? Let's see the actual phase instead of, let's see this, to the solution. This idea is derived from the design of a campus. Okay. The campus, again, it is done with existing building. Imagine a campus, okay? Imagine one building there, 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 one building there. You are called to do a new building for a certain function, you know, basic function. 99K, what you do? You find a lot, it's there, it's an empty, clean, empty lot. You go and you do your building. It's what they did basically everybody in this competition. Instead, here, this idea, they start to the palimpsest, as usual. So they start grids, orientation, grids, etc. And then they add this idea. Instead of creating a building in a vacant lot, let's work in between the buildings. Let's kind of densify certain areas, and we kind of stick the building between two existing buildings. And then we orient these things within a series of grid palimpsest layers that comes out the other story. But this idea of the in-between is a very powerful idea. It's an extremely powerful idea. And this is exactly what happened. Basically, instead of creating the building, I don't know, here, there, or whatever, because it's a larger campus, it's really stick the building between the side of two existing ones. You see? Boom! It becomes like an arrow that goes there. And within that, it basically what it does, this becomes, of course, a kind of circulation of it. You know, it's a kind of a gallery, in a way. And so, what is needed is a kind of a process of negotiation. You put the pieces that are needed in the program on both sides, underground, inside another one, etc. So this is this project that is called the Wexner Center for Visual Art, and was at that moment, or after 10 years of Anduena winning all the time in every possible things and doing etc. Finally, Idea was able after 10 years to put together. Again, one building in the United States, because one thing is to do the building in Berlin, of course. The only success, I think, the success that you get in your home. That's why all the Albanese people come back with a Mercedes, I understand that. They are outside, but doesn't matter. It's important what you, the accreditation that you get in your own village. So the only winning is what you get in your place. That's the reality. So here it is. So this building is symbolically very important also, because it's the only building that he was able to get, and it's done with this grammar, and this idea, as you are going to see, will have a lot of consequences. A lot of consequences. Although in this building everything but perfect, but still there is a lot of interest from a conceptual point of view itself. Frank Schumi was there again, another friend. Arrived too. Before was taking that. Then, after a couple of years, he said, you know, this idea of the in-between is really great. So he made a masterpiece, really an incredible masterpiece, with this idea of in-between. For the second time, this is Le Fresnois Center. It's all based on the idea of the in-between. There is an existing building, probably some of you know, and then he overimposed a structure to create an in-between space that became an incredible, fantastic thing. But again, it's the same trend. So, if you see the slides, we have lots of things to do, because the thing is, we will not stop here, go a lot more. But we decided to have this structure instead of, you know, go deeper instead than be very superficial. So, since we have time, the basic idea at this point will be the following. If you agree, we can negotiate that. The idea is that tomorrow morning I will do the second part of this theoretical part and we'll finish. In the afternoon, we will go to the material again, very quick, in order to show you what we actually do in the workshop. And so we created the basis of what we do in the workshop, and on Sunday, you actually do the workshop. In order to do the workshop, you must have, and this is what will become more clear tomorrow, but then you have only Sunday night, to organize that, you must have a series of objects, let's say, cardboard, plastic, pieces of stone, doesn't matter, but you have to have a collection of things that you don't really know what, but you must have objects, and you must have tools. Minimum are cardboard, you must have some cardboard, something to cut, something to do, because we are actually doing not something that is really a model, is what we will tell you tomorrow what it is. But we must have, you must collect material. That is important. Because if we come with only your hands, you cannot do it. Okay? So, whatever, it becomes more explicit tomorrow, but then you have a very short time, because that will be only the night and the shops are closed. So start to imagine different things out of which you can create this. We are basically doing, tomorrow will be explained to you, design machines. We are creating design machines. We are not creating exactly model. We are creating design machines that will allow you to approach design. And we can do that with a lot of materials. So that's important that you have the material, otherwise... Non so se gli volete dire forse qualcosina in più. Is enough.